Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. We are holding on daf Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, four lines from the end of the page on daf Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. Yesterday we learned to Gzeir Shava, Zehadavar. Those two words appear both in the context of Hafaras Nedarim and in the context of Shchut Echutz. And we learned from that Gzeir Shava that Hafaras Nedarim could be done with Shlosha Adyotos. But we also learned that Beis Shammai does not have that Gzeir Shava. So the first thing we're going to discuss today is, if Beis Shammai doesn't have that Gzeir Shava, how does Beis Shammai know that Hafaras Nedarim could be done with Shlosha Adyotos, that you only need three Adyotos to serve on a Beis Din to be Mefer and Neder? Then in the middle of Kuf Chaf Aleph, the Gemara is going to go through six reasons that we consider Tu B'Av to be a particularly joyous day. The first of which relates to this whole parak, relates to the idea that Shvatim were now on Tu B'Av, they were permitted to marry each other again, even though in that original generation, Zehadavar, in that original generation in the Midbar that came into Eretz Yisrael, they were not allowed to marry each other. So that's the first of the six reasons, and that's why the whole discussion of Tu B'Av appears over here. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to identify the seven people who spanned all of human history. That all of human history you can trace with seven people who each saw each other. The last one being Eliyahu, because we assume Eliyahu is still alive, so he spanned a good chunk of human history. And then the Gemara is going to discuss how it is that both Achia and Ya'ir ben Menashe could have been Miyotze Mitzrayim. They could have been among the people who left Mitzrayim and still been alive in Eretz Yisrael, if the Psukim seem to tell us that the only such people were Yoshua and Kalev, that only Yoshua and Kalev were able to escape the Gezerah after the Chedah Meraglim. So how could it be that we find two other historical figures who also seem to have been Miyotze Mitzrayim and still made it into Eretz Yisrael? So let's begin four lines from the bottom of the page. Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. Ulbeishamei delasu gzer shava faras nedarim b'shloshah adyotos min alehu. Beishamei, who does not hold of the gzer shava, meaning of zeh adavar between shchut echutz and afaras nedarim, how do they know that you could do afaras nedarim with three adyotos? Rashbam points out three lines from the bottom. Hainu hataras chacham debinan beis din gimel adyotos. We're talking about what we call Hataras Nedarim, where we pull aside any three random people in Shul. It doesn't have to be experts. Or a Yachid Mumcha is able to do it. We're not talking about actual Hafaras Nedarim. Hafaras Nedarim is done by the husband when the woman takes a Neder. We're talking about Hataras Nedarim. How does Beis Shammai know that Hataras Nedarim can be done with three Adyotos? So Nafkalumi Detanya derives it from the following Braisa. That's somewhat of a cryptic brisa, but the Gemara is going to elaborate on what exactly it means. The brisa quotes the pasuk Vayidaber Moshe Smadei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. So two comments about that pasuk the brisa has. Number one, Rav Yosi Glili Omer Moadei Hashem Nemru Shabbos Bereishis Lo Nemra. That Moadei Hashem were said by Moshe to the Bnei Yisrael, but Shabbos Bereishis was not. Ben Azay Omer Moadei Hashem Nemru Hafaras Nedarim Lo Nemra. Second comment, that Moadei Hashem was said by Moshe to the Bnei Yisrael, but Hafaras Nedarim was not said by Moshe to the Bnei Yisrael. So what is this talking about? What exactly does this brisa mean? It wasn't said by Moshe. These things are not part of the Torah's Moshe. They certainly are. Rabbi Yossi Bar Nassan, have a gomer la hamas nisa v'lo yadale lefrusha. So we're in good company if we can't interpret this brisa. Rabbi Yosef Yarnasan learned this brisa and he had no idea how to explain the brisa. So what do you do when you don't know how to explain a brisa? You try to find someone who does know. So you work very hard to try to find someone who does know. Azul bas shedrav sheshes l'narda v'lo ashkechei. So he went to Rav Sheshes, he went to Narda where he thought he would find Rav Sheshes to explain the brisa to him. Didn't work out. He couldn't find Rav Sheshes there. Azul basre l'machuza ashkechei. But he was determined. He had to understand pshat in this brisa. So he didn't stop. After not finding him in Arda, he went to Machuza and he found him there. Amalei, my moadei Hashem nemru Shabbos bereishis lo nemra. What is this idea that Shabbos bereishis is lo nemra? That Rabbi Yossi Aglili comments in the brisa that the moadei Hashem were said, but Shabbos bereishis was not. So Amalei, moadei Hashem tzrichim kiddush beis din. Shabbos Shabbos Bereishis Ein Tzricha Kiddush Beis Din. The emphasis over here, the point over here is that Moadei Hashem, when it comes to the Yom Tovim, you need Kiddush Beis Din in order to establish a Yom Tov. But Shabbos Bereishis, to establish Shabbos each and every week, it's unnecessary to have Kiddush Beis Din. If you look at Rashbam on the top, Moadei Hashem Tzrichin Kiddush Yom Mekadshin Esachodesh Al Pi Ariyah. How do you have Kiddush Beis Din on each Moed when they're Mekadish the Chodesh? Umitoch Kach Meskadish Moed Bizmano, and based on the Kiddush Achodesh, the Yom Tovim Memela fall into place. Shalfi Ibur Hashanah, Ibur Achadash, Moadim Esakvin, Aval Moadim Atzman Loi Mekadshim Ki Mechadashim. Clearly, it's not that we're Koveya or Mekadish the Moadim themselves. We're Mekadish the Chodesh. Once we're Mekadish the Chodesh, then it just happens automatically that the Moadim fall into place. But Shabbos Bereishis is not that way. It doesn't rely on any Kiddush. It's Kavua V'kaima Misheshis Mei Bereishis. If you look toward the end of the Rashbam in Dibur Maskel Shabbos Bereishis and Tzrich Kiddush, Shabbos Bereishis Kari LeShabbos Mishum Dekol Moados Namik Sivu Shabbos Shabbason Hilcha Kari LeShabbos Bereishis Mekudash Zubah Misheshis Mei Bereishis Dibur Shabbos Rishon Nuxivbo V'vayichulu V'yikadesh Oso. That Shabbos Bereishis is what we call Shabbos, as opposed to, why don't we just call it Shabbos? Meaning, we always call it Shabbos. Why does the Gemara have to call it Shabbos Bereishis? It's Shabbos. There's only one Shabbos. Why do you have to call it Shabbos Bereishis? So Rashbam is pointing out, no, it's not the only Shabbos. If you look in the Torah, a lot of times Yom Tovim are referred to as Shabbos. Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shabbos, and you have other days that are called Shabbos. So the way to identify what we call Shabbos is by referring to it as Shabbos Bereishis. If you look at the top Tosos, Shabbos Bereishis and Tzrich Kiddush Bezim Vim Tomar, this is so Parakam the Kiddushin Naf. That the Gemara in Kiddushin has a drasha from a totally different word, from the word Moshvo Seichem. That's how we learn that Shabbos Bereishis does not require Kiddush Beis Din as opposed to the other Moados. So Tosfos is asking, our Gemara has one drasha, but the Gemara in Kiddushin has an entirely different drasha from an entirely different pasuk for the same exact din. So which is it? Which drasha is the accurate drasha? Why would I need two different psukim to tell me the same exact din, that Shabbos Bereishis is an automatic, whereas the other moadim have to be established? So it says Tosfos Yeshlomer drasha dahasam asya keben azay didar shacha moadei Hashem nemar afaras nedarim lo nemar, that there is this second opinion in the Braisa over here of Ben Azai, that we learned something else from moadei Hashem, not about Shabbos, but about Hafaras Nedarim. So if you hold like Ben Azai's Shita, that this pasuk over here is all about Hafaras Nedarim, then you need a separate drasha to teach me about this din of Shabbos. Inami afil Rabbi Yossi Agalili tzrichin shrei krai. Or else Tosa says it could be that even according to Rabbi Yossi Agalili, we require two psukim. Di loksiv el chad lov matinan el mumchin kasav kra achrina lemute afilu ediotos. If we only would have had one pasuk, I would have thought that it's true. Shabbos Bereishis does not require quite what the Moadim require in terms of establishing the MLP Beis Din. That for the Moadim, you need a Beis Din of Mumchim. For Shabbos Bereishis, it's good enough to pull aside three idiotas on Friday afternoon in Shul and say Mekudesh, Mekudesh on Shabbos, and then you'll go into Shabbos. No, I need a second pasuk to tell me you don't even have to do that. You don't even need idiotas when it comes to Shabbos Bereishis. So those are the two Terutzim Tosos. First Terutz is that the whole Gemara and Kiddushin is assuming like Ben Azai, and the second Terutz is no, we actually do require two separate drashos. The problem with suggesting that the whole Gemara and Kiddushin is going like Ben Azai, the Achronim point out, is that why do we even bring in Ben Azai over here? Why are we quoting this whole Braisa? We're trying to justify the Shita of the Beis Shammai. That how's Beis Shammai going to know Shlosha Adiotos? So Beis Shammai's idea of knowing that Shlosha Adiotos could do Afaras Nedarim is based on Ben Azai. So to say that the Gemara and Kiddushin is going like Ben Azai is the equivalent of saying that the Gemara in Kiddushin is going like Beis Shammai, and that we would certainly prefer not to do. We would certainly prefer not to say that the Gemara in Kiddushin is locked in to the Shita of Beis Shammai. So that's pointed out by some of the Achronim, and they try to figure out a way that maybe even Beis Hillel might hold like Ben Azai, even though in the context of our Gemara, the only reason we're bringing Ben Azai in, the only reason we're bringing this whole Braisa in to demonstrate Shitas Ben Azai is to show that that is the basis of Shitas Beis Shammai. back in the Gemara, Salkadei Dechamina, I just got to finish off the sentence over here. Salkadei Dechamina, we might have originally thought that Hol Ksivi Gabi Madis to buy Kiddush Bezen Kamoados. One might have thought that since Shabbos is listed together with all the other Moados in Chumash, that it's in the Parsha of Moados. So it might have a din of a Moed that it requires Kiddush Bezen Kamash Milan. That's why I need this pasuk to tell me that it's not so. All of that is the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What do we learn from Vayidaber Moshe as Ma'adei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael to tell me that Shabbos does not require Kiddush Beis Din? But now we're going to move on to Shitas Ben Azai, which is the whole reason we quoted this price in the first place. May Ma'adei Hashem Nemru Afaras Nedarim Lo Nemra. What does Ben Azai mean when he says that Ma'adei Hashem were said by Moshe Rabbeinu, but Afaras Nedarim was not? He means as follows. Ma'adei Hashem Tzrichin Mumchin, Afaras Nedarim Eina Tzricha Mumchin. That Mo'adei Hashem required Dayan and Mumchin to establish the Mo'ados, but Hafaras Nedarim does not require Mumchin. Va'Rashi HaMatos Ksiv, but doesn't it say by Hafaras Nedarim the phrase Rashi HaMatos, doesn't that imply that you need Mumchin? Amar Chisam Rabbi Yochanan, B'Yochin Mumcha. No, it means that you have the option of using a Mumcha, and then if you choose that option, you're not going to need three people, a Yochin Mumcha will work as well. If you look at Rashba, Mo'adei Hashem Tzrichin Mumchin, V'lo Mekadshi Begim that to establish Yom Tovim, to establish Rosh Chodesh, it's not enough to have a Yachid Mumcha, it's not enough to have three Adiotos, it needs to be three, and all three need to be Mumchin. K'di Alfinun B'Rosh Hashanah, Ein Lecha Mumcha B'Yisrael Yosir Mimosh Rabbeinu, V'Kam Le Rachmana, Adika Aron Ba'adach, Dichsiv Ayom Rasham Moshe, V'El Aron, HaChodesh Zelechem, Kachem, Mumchin, V'Ein Be'ezen Shakl, Nosif Nalei Morechet. How do I know that you need three mumchin when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh? Because the Torah says that Hashem said this not just to Moshe, but to Moshe and to Aaron. Can you have a greater mumcha than Moshe? And yet Moshe still needed Aaron to be present as well. And once you have Moshe and Aaron, it obviously was not just Moshe and Aaron, because you can't have a Bezin Shakul, you can't have an even number of Dayanim and a Bezin, so there must have been a third person there as well. Why doesn't the Torah mention the third person? So usually we would say it doesn't mention the third person, because in comparison to Moshe and Aaron, the third person is probably not of the same caliber as Moshe and Aaron, although he was a mumcha. Whoever the third person was also a mumcha, because you need three mumchin. Period. Now we move on to discuss the idea of Tu B'Av and what is special about the date of Tu B'Av. Tanan Hasam. Amar Rav Shem Gamliel, Lo Hayu Yom Tovim LiYisrael K'Chamisha Asar B'Av U'Kiyom HaKippurim. There were no such joyous days for the Jewish people like the 15th day of Av and like Yom HaKippurim. How do they celebrate these days? Shebehen Benos Yisrael Yotzos B'Klei Lavan She'ulin. On those days, the Benos Yisrael would go out wearing borrowed white clothing. And they would dafka wear borrowed clothing so as not to embarrass someone who didn't have their own pristine white clothing. So everyone, even the wealthy girls, would borrow from others. Hashu'ulin, Rashbam points out, Shafilu Mishi Yeshla Hesoshoelas. Even wealthy girls who had would borrow. Not to embarrass the girls who had to borrow because they didn't have. That the Bas Melech would borrow from the Bas Kohen Gadol, they'd all borrow from their friends, they would borrow this clothing. That's how they would celebrate these days of Yom HaKippurim and Tu B'Av. The Ritva points out, isn't this a stira to what it says in Sukkah Daf Nun Aleph with regard to the Simchas Pesach HaShoeva, Mishal Lora Simcha Zu, Lora Simcha Miyamav? Anyone who didn't see the Simchas Pesach HaShoeva never saw Simcha Miyamav. And over here we're saying, Lo HaYom Tovim LiYisrael K'Chamish HaSar B'Av K'Yom HaKippurim, that the most joyous days were Chamish HaSar B'Av and Yom HaKippurim. So I would have thought it's not a kasha, but the Ritva asks it, so he thinks it's a kasha, that these are the Yomim Tovim. So it sounds like, I would have said, there's Yom Tovim and there's Simcha, those are two separate inyanim. The Ritva says, no, they're the same inyan, but Simcha's Beis HaShoeva was only in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you never got to see it, you never saw Simcha Miyamav. You want to know the greatest Simcha that ever affected the entire community, everyone who saw it everywhere, well, that's Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippurim, because that affected everybody. The Simcha's Beis HaShoeva was only building the Beis HaMikdash, even though the Gemara does in the Mishnah reports over there that the whole Yerushalayim was lit up from the lights of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, so you get the impression that the celebration in Yerushalayim spilled over to the entire, I guess that's a Daf Yomi coincidence, right? That the celebration in Yerushalayim spilled over to the entire city, but nevertheless, it wasn't really for everybody worldwide, for all the Jews, whereas Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippurim were. So says the Gemara, before we even get that, in the Eish Lavram, he writes, the whole idea of Tu B'Av was, and the comparison between Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippurim is that, and what makes them such days of Simcha, aside from the specifics, the Kapara for the Egel of Yom HaKippurim, the Kapara for Klal Yisrael in general in Yom Kippur, and all of the things we're about to identify about Tu B'Av, but the common link between these 2 days is that they relate to Shalom and Achdus, that Simcha can only happen when there is peace and Achdus amongst the Jewish people. That's the comparison between Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av, that on Yom Kippur, yes, it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechaper for the Averus Ben Adam L'Makom, but in Yom Kippur Mechaper for Averus Ben Adam L'Chavero Ad Sheiratzeh Es Chavero. We have to actually create a sense of Shalom and Achdus amongst each other in order for Yom Kippur to have its maximum effect, in order for Yom Kippur to work. So Tu B'Av as well, the very first thing we're going to identify is the ability to marry from one Sheva to the other, the ability to come together as a Jewish people. And that ultimately is going to be the greatest source of Simcha. So says in our Bishlam, Yom HaKippurim, Yom Slicha Mechila, Yom Shin Valucha Sachronos, I understand Yom Kippur is a day of Slicha and Mechila, and it's a day that the Luchos Achronos were given to us. Rashbam does the whole Cheshbon, we're not going to do it right now, but it's the day that the Luchos Achronos were given to us. That also counts as a Daf Yomi coincidence, as we're approaching the day that the Luchos Rishonos were given. El Chamish Asar Ba'av, Maihi, but what is Chamish Asar Ba'av? What makes Chamish Asar Ba'av a special day? So the Gemara says 6 things make Chamish Asar Ba'av a special day, and they are, number one, Amar Avidam Shmuel, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavo Zebazeh. It's the day that they allowed the Shvatim to marry into each other, because initially in the Dar HaMidbar they had this rule that we've been discussing, that the Shvatim were out of fear of Havaras Nachla, of a girl inheriting her father's estate and then marrying someone out of the Shevet and bringing that Nachla out of the Shevet, they didn't allow marrying out of the Shevet. Now they allowed it. They allowed the Shvatim to be Lavo Zebazeh. As Rashbam explains, Shehutra Asabas Nachla, Shepasak Osu Dor Shel Bayi Aretz Shneselam Asabas Nachla. What it really means is all the people who initially entered Eretz Yisrael died, and therefore there was no longer an Isser, because the Isser was only on that generation. V'hashlemiyam nishtayru adayin ben adam shoyibos adar akati bisurayu kaimi aval shar ben adam shoyibos adar mutarin. Had there been anyone alive from that generation, even nowadays, if there was someone alive from that generation, it would be usher for that person to marry into a different shevet. The point is, though, there is no one alive anymore from that generation, and therefore we're allowed to marry. V'yesh mefarshim yom shuhutru shvatim shari b'tu ba'av kalu meisei midbar kedil kaman. Some say this relates to the fact that the meisei midbar finished dying on Tu B'Av, which is one of the other things we celebrate. Rashbam says, but such a statement would be a mistake, because this has nothing to do with the Dar HaMidbar. The idea of the Shvatim marrying each other was for the Dar of the Ba'e Ha'aretz. It's for those who actually entered into Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Nachla really mattered. That's where the moving of the Nachla from one place to the other was really a much, much greater concern. Marsha raises a question: why would they have been misameach when this iser was lifted? Sof, if it was good for one shevet to be mosif on his nachla, it's always bad for the next shevet. Like the Bnei Yosef said, "Umigoro nachla senu yigara." The Bnei Yosef complained that we're going to lose out when our girls marry out. So the Marsha explains that it's the Bnos Yisrael are dafka mentioned with regard to this simcha, because the simcha was only for the Beros Yisrael. Because so long as this Isra Vasavas Nachla was in place, the Nekevos were in a more difficult position than the Zecharim. Because a man who has a Nachla can marry whoever he wants. It's not a violation of Vasavas Nachla. A man who has a Yerusha, go ahead, marry anyone from any of the 12 Shvatim, because you're keeping your Nachla in your Shevet. A woman who had a Nachla was not able to marry outside of her Shevet. So it puts a woman at a disadvantage. A woman is fortunate enough to have a Nachla, she didn't have any brothers, but now she's very limited in her Shiduchim. In the Sefer Amat Shmuel, he suggests that really all of the Shvatim would prefer the Bittul of this Isser of Asavas Nachla, because it evens out. You know, you'll lose a little bit here and you'll gain a little bit there. It's only the Bnei Yosef who didn't want this, because the concern was that a Bas whose Yoresh Nachla is going to bring that Nachla to another Shevet, because Shevet Yosef had many males because of the Brach of Yaakov Yidgul Rov Bekerev Haaretz. So we find by Chalukos Haaretz Im Am Ravata. So since they had so many males, they were very attached to their entire Nachla, that they shouldn't lose it. And their Ikar Taina was on the Bnos Slavchad, where it would have been a major loss, because Bnos Slavchad took 4 Chalakim. That's what the Mishnah and the Gemara identified earlier. So they came with the Taina to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Kimata Bnei Yosef Dovrim, that it was Dafka Shevet Yosef that had this Taina, because they had so many males, and Bnos Slavchad took away 4 Chalakim. But other Shvatim, it worked out. It evened out in the end for everybody else. Says the Gemara, my drosh, what was the drosh that they made that they realized that they're allowed to marry, that now that the Dor Boy Haaretz is gone, you're allowed to marry from one shevet to the other? Zeh hadavar. Davar zeh lo yinoig elo bidor zeh. They darshan the words zeh hadavar, which teaches that it's something that only applies in that one generation, in that first generation. Second reason for the joy of Tu B'Av, Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Shuhuta Sheva Binyamin, Lavo Bekal. Dechsiv v'ish Yisrael nishpa b'mitzvah le'mar ish mimenu lo yiten bitol b'nyamin li'isha. That it was the day that Shevet Binyamin was allowed to come into the Kaal again, meaning after the whole story of Pilegesh Begiva, they all swore off marrying anyone in Binyamin, so now they lifted that restriction. And Maidrosh, what did they darshan? Mimenu v'lomi banenu. That they made that commitment not to marry off into Shevet Binyamin, but they said mimenu. So mimenu v'lomi banenu, that it's our own personal iser, but it does not apply to our children. The Ritva points out that you see from here that they needed a pasuk. They needed mimenu v'lomi banenu, even though they accepted this upon themselves as a chumrah. So one might have thought, good, whoever accepted it upon themselves. Anyone else, any future generations, are not included. Says the Ritva, though, what you see from here is that fathers have the ability to accept something as a community that they're all going to do, and that's going to be binding on anyone who identifies with that community, even in future generations. That it's not like a personal neder that, you know, the child could say, okay, that was my father's neder, it's not mine. On a personal neder, you can say such a thing, but something that the entire community does together, that's something that's binding on anyone who connects with that community. Rav Shachter talks about this a lot. He mentions in Eretz HaTzvi that when it comes to minhagim, a lot of times you have like this, that a person wants to violate the minhag of his parents, let's say, when it comes to eating gebraks or not eating gebraks, or you know, something of that nature. So he points out that a lot of the Rabbanim will say, I think Rav Avadia Yosef writes that a person could do ataras nedarim or such a thing. So Rav Shachter points out, l'chora you can't, because it's something that is binding on the community. As long as you associate with that community, that's binding on anyone who's in that community, who's in that community of Hasidim. L'chora, what you can do is decide not to be part of that community anymore, meaning just because your grandfather was a Hasid doesn't mean you have to be a Hasid. So you could shift your entire association, but to have like a mishmash of different, different minhagim that are some yes, some no, that's l'chara not appropriate, because the binding nature of that neder is on the entire community that associates with that community. So that's l'chara, the ha'ara of the ritva over here as well. The third point, says the Gemara, that we celebrate on Tu B'Av, Rav Dimi Bar Yosef Amar Rav Nachman Yom Shekalubo Meisei Midbar. It's the day that the Meisei Midbar stopped dying. Da Amar Mar Ad Shelo Kalu Meisei Midbar Lo Haya Dibur Im Moshe. And that was a very happy day, because not only were they no longer dying, but until that point, the Dibur was not with Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was not speaking directly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemer Vaya Kasher Tamu Kol Anshei Melcham Lamos Mikerav Ha'am V'samach Lei Vayidav Rashem Elai Lemar. That it was only Elai Haya Dibur. That the Dibur only came back to Moshe Rabbeinu after they all died. What does that mean? God, we have many, many cases where throughout the travels in the Midbar, God was conversing with Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does it mean that God didn't converse with Moshe Rabbeinu the entire time the Jewish people were in the Midbar, from the time of the Chedem Raglim until they all finished dying? So the Rashbam says, no, it doesn't mean Hashem didn't speak to Moshe Rabbeinu at all for 38 years. It means that when he had to speak to him, like by the Maisa Korach V'Adaso, which was after the Meraglim, it was not peh el peh. It was not on the normal level of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. It was more like other Nevi'im. It was Al Yidei Malach, it was Al Yidei Urim V'Tumim. It was in other ways. It was not in the way that Moshe Rabbeinu was accustomed to experiencing a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Furthermore, he says that it wasn't on demand. It was only when something major happened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would converse with Moshe Rabbeinu. But one of the ways that Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu was unique is that Moshe Rabbeinu can ask for an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can initiate the conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, for those 38 years, he couldn't initiate the conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rashi writes in Maseches Tainis. It wasn't b'derech chiba. It wasn't in the same loving way that it had previously been. And some variation of that is what pretty much all the Rishonim say. Of course, Hashem was still communicating with Moshe Rabbeinu, just not in the same way that it had been, which is remarkable if you think about it. You know, we make a lot out of the fact, it's one of the Ikari Amunah, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon Kol HaNaviim, and that the quality of his Nevuah was qualitatively different than every other Navi's Nevuah. So you already have Rishonim that say that was not yet true at the burning bush, that at the beginning of his career he had not yet risen to that level. And, so it only started, you know, when he was already 80 years old, and for the last 38 years of his life, it didn't really happen until the very end. So there's a very short window of time where Moshe Rabbeinu was actually, you know, his defining moments actually were for a very short window of time that he actually became the Navi of that stature, of that level. Mm-hmm. Now the Rashbam over here quotes a whole story of what it is that it means that the Meisei Midbar stopped dying at that time. The Rashbam writes in the name of the Medrash that Chamisha Asar Ba'av is a Yom Tov because they stopped digging they realize they're not going to have to dig their graves anymore, because from the time the Gezeres HaMeraglim was made, every year they would announce on Erev Tisha B'Av that everyone should dig their own graves and go to sleep in their own graves, and that's what they would do. And then they would announce in the morning, Yibadlu Achayim Min HaMesim, let the living separate from the dead. And those who were still alive would get up and would climb out of the graves, and every year 15,000 plus a few more died each and every year. And that's what they did for all 40 years, Yom Lashana, Yom Lashana, for the 40 days that the Meraglim went to Eretz Yisrael, 40 years of having to suffer this kind of day of massive death each and every year. The last year they did this, and they announced, everyone get up, whoever's alive get up, and everyone got up, and they thought maybe we made a mistake in the cheshbon, it's not really Tisha B'Av. So they tried again and again and again, and each night everyone got up till it was Tu B'Av, and they saw the Levana B'Shleimusa, they saw the full moon, they realized this is way past Tisha B'Av already, we can't be off by the cheshbon that much, and they realized that they had stopped dying, and that's why the Shechina came back to a conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu. Tosfos has a lot of problems with this Medrash. Tosfos has like 7 or 8 different issues with this Medrash. Some of them are the following. Rabbeinu Tam raises the question that if they didn't die in the 40th year, so why did it take till the 15th day of Av for the Shechina to talk to Moshe, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to talk to Moshe Rabbeinu again? Meaning, on Tisha B'Av it should have happened. Meaning that that was the end. That was, it was no longer happening. So that's when the Shekhinah should have returned. So Tosa suggests that maybe we know that the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, "Eina Shekhinah Shorim Mitochatzvus." As long as they're still nervous, they still think it will happen, even if it's not going to, the Shekhinah is not going to be there, because the Shekhinah only comes Mitoch Simcha. So they had to wait till they felt that sense of relief and that sense of Simcha, and only then was the Shekhinah going to return to Moshe Rabbeinu. Tosfos also asks that if they didn't die in the 40th year, so the actual Gezerah only lasted for 37 years, because the first year the Gezerah didn't happen yet. The second year, only the actual Motzie Hadiba, only the actual Meraglim died, especially you can't say on the second year that on Erev Tisha B'Av they made this announcement, because the Gezerah was not yet made until Tisha B'Av. That's when the Meraglim, the whole story with the Meraglim happened. And if they didn't die the 40th year either, it was 37 years. So if you were to take 600,000 people, divide that up into 37 parts, the numbers are rough. The Rashbam said that it was 15,000 plus that died every year. It should have been 16,000 plus that died died every year if the numbers were accurate. So that is another problem that Tosfos raises. Tosfos also raises that there's a man d'amar in the Yerushalmi that all those that died in that gezeira lo mesu bepachs migil shishin. They didn't die less than the age of 60. So according to the Medrash, everyone died, 15,000 and change died. You have to say a great chiddush that in every year in Mitzrayim, exactly that number were born, because it's only the people hitting the age of 60 that year. So every year there was the same number of people hitting the age of 60. We mamish had children in Mitzrayim like machines, exactly the same number every year. Hard to believe, says Tosfos. Tosfos has other problems, and many, many other problems as well. He says, most fundamentally, what were they thinking last year? If they were all gone already by the last year, so it's true, maybe not everyone knew that everyone from that generation had died, but you knew yourself, right? You knew yourself whether you were 20 years old at the time of the Meraglim. So why did anyone dig a grave? Meaning, in that last year, everyone should have realized that I'm not included in the Gezerah, because everyone who was included in the Gezerah is already gone, or at least, you know, it's not me. I know who's included in the Gezerah, and it's not me. So Tosfos is bothered by that as well. And therefore, Tosfos disagrees with this entire Medrash, this entire Rashbam. He says in the 40th year, they also died on Tisha B'Av, but because they were, and Tu B'Av became a day of celebration, because that's when it was all over. Meaning, Tu B'Av is when the Shiva was over for those who died on Tisha B'Av. So once the Shiva was over and they could breathe a sigh of relief, they knew that that whole episode is now closed, that's when they were able to celebrate. That's how Tosfos suggests, and the Ramban suggests, against the Rashbam. Says the Gemara now, the fifth reason. No, the fourth reason, rather, that we celebrate on Tu B'Av, on the fourth line of the page, on Amud Beis, Ula Amar Yom Shebitel Bo Hoshea Ben Ela Pardesol Shoshev Yeravam Ala Drachem Shlo Yalu Yisrael LeRegel. It was the day that Hoshea Ben Ela took away the guards that stopped people from going to Yerushalayim. That it used to be that once the Malchus was split and Rechavam was the Melech from the Malchus based David, Yeravam didn't want anyone being Ol LeRegel, because it would be embarrassing if they all had to be Ol LeRegel, since Yeravam was not from the Malchus based David. Ein yeshiva ba'azara al malchus beis David bilvad. Only the malchus beis David are allowed to sit in the azara. So everyone would see that Rechavim is sitting in the azara and Yeravim is not. And they're going to say Yeravim is not a real king. So instead, he sets up two golden calves and these whole temples dedicated to them and stops everyone from going to Yerushalayim, from going to the Mikdash. So when that ended, when that terrible tragedy of not being able to go to the Mikdash ended, that was a day of celebration. And that is a dafyomi coincidence. When access to Yerushalayim and to the Makom HaMikdash is regained, that is a cause for great celebration. So the Marsha raises the question that it actually historically turned out to be a very bad thing. If you look in Melachim Beis, so what happened? So the guards were gone now, so everyone's going to rush to Yerushalayim and everyone's going to be there and everyone's going to be able to go to the Mikdash. Didn't happen. people weren't interested. They weren't going. They weren't running to the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, we have this image in our minds of, you know, the Beis HaMikdash stood for how many centuries that every year they were the majority of the Jewish people being all the regal. That happened for a very, very short period of time. That happened, you know, in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. As soon as the split of the Malchus, it never happened again. That was, you know, wasn't happening anymore. So it was an unbelievable black eye for the Jewish people. And that ultimately caused the galus, because that's what the Gemara Maseches Gittin tells us in Daf Pei Ches. That ultimately caused the galus, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees, you have the opportunity, you're not going, so those years that you're not going to be able to regel, Yelchu Bashavi, and he brought the Melech Ashur to go and to exile the people. So why is that a day of Yom Tov? That's the Kasha the Marsha says. The Marsha says, V'yesh Liyashiv. Probably what he means, V'yesh Liyashiv, is in that moment, it seemed like a great moment, because it seemed like people were going to go. It seemed like people were going to take advantage of the ability to access Kedusha in that way, to access the Makom HaMikdash in that way. So the tzaddikim in that generation made a Yom Tov. Then the Yom Tov never went away, because they decided, even though, as it turned out historically, it turned out to be a pretty bad thing. Fifth point about Tu B'Av, Rav Masna Amar Yom Shenitnu Arugei Beitar L'Kvura. It was the day that the Arugei Beitar were allowed to be buried. The Amar Rav Masna Osa Yom Shenitnu Arugei Beitar L'Kvura Tiknu B'Avne Hatova Ametiv. They were misaking the bracha of Hatova Ametiv. Hatov Shel Esrichu V'Ametiv Shenitnu L'Kvura. Hatov that the bodies did not decompose, and Ametiv that they were finally able to be buried. So the Rishonim are all bothered by the Kasha. Okay, I understand. You want to be misaking the bracha of Tova Metiv, this wonderful miracle, why put it in benching? Why not in davening? Why not be misaking the bracha in davening? So the Ramban writes, based on the Medrash, that Adrinus Kesar had a large vineyard that was Yurches Mil al Yurches Mil, that was the size of the distance from Tveria to Tzipori, and he made from the Aruge Beitar a fence that surrounded the entire vineyard, and the fence was so tall it was like the height of a person who's holding his hands up in the air. So that's how many bodies there were piled on each other. And the entire time that they were there, they did not decompose until another king came and allowed them to be given over l'kvura. But the point is that it was around a kerem. Since it was around a kerem, they wanted to be misakin with birchas hamazon, which is generally done ala kos. Dafka by Kos of Yain. The Ritva says that it was in Birchas HaMazon, because Birchas HaMazon is the Shevach Voda ala Aretz HaTova, Malchus Beis David. So since the Nes that happened to the Ruge Beitar was a Chashva Nes, they were Koveya together with these other issues to be Mevarich with Nefesh Seveya Belev Sameach. That when do we know a person is satisfied and a person is happy? It's right after a meal. So that's when we want this kind of Shevach to be given. It could also be, the Chuvas Binyamin Zev says, a reminder that a person is getting carried away with his drinking, so he's going to remind himself of the Yom HaMisa. Being masker Yom HaMisa is helpful at a time like that. Rabba V'Rav Yosef Dami Tavayue, sixth reason for the celebration of Tu B'Av, Yom Sheposkim B'Milich Ros Eitzim L'Maracha. It was the day they finished cutting the wood for the Maracha. Rashbam points out, you see from here that you make a Simcha L'Gamra Shal Mitzvah. When you finish doing a Mitzvah, you make a Simcha. So that's the source, that's the primary source of making a siyum on a mesechta, that you celebrate a completion of a mitzvah. The Achronim point out, yeah, the celebration was what? Finishing cutting the wood so that they can now have all the wood they need to actually burn all the parts of the karbanos and do the actual mitzvah. Meaning, the simcha, the gamra shel mitzvah, is how well it prepares you for the next mitzvah. And that's the ultimate kunz of a siyum mesechta. Siyum mesechta is not what I've accomplished, but it's what I'm now prepared to accomplish because I've learned through. That's the Hadron Alach, that let's return to you, because the next time I learn this Masechta, I'll know it that much better, and I'll be able to learn it on a deeper level. That's why Rav Salvechik said that he thought that Chasen Bereishis was a greater kibud than Chasen Torah, because Chasen Bereishis is what it's really all about. It's the ability to learn it even better the next time. Tanya Blazar Gadol Omer, Kivin Shigia Chamisha Asar Ba'av, Tashash Kocha Shal Chama. Because what happened when Chamisha Asar Ba'av comes, the sun gets weakened, V'lo Yukarsen Eitzel Maracha, so they would not, the wood was no longer as good to use for firewood, so they wouldn't cut any more wood for the maracha. Amar of Menashe v'kari le'yom tavar magal. They would call that the day that they would break their axes because they didn't need it anymore. Mikan ve'elik to Moshe Yosef, and from then on, you had all this extra time. You didn't need to chop wood, so you go and you learn extra. You're going to get extra life to learn. She'ena Moshe Yosef, and someone who doesn't learn extra is Yosef. My Yosef, Tani Rav Yosef. Tikbrei ime. It means a person is going to die young if they don't use their time wisely. The Rav Elchanan just points out that it's odd that we say the sun gets weakened at Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av is a lunar date. We work on a lunar calendar. The sun gets weakened based on the solar calendar. He says, Al Pi Rov, it works that way. Tan Rabbanan, Shiva Kapulas Kala Olam Kula. There are seven people who span the entirety of human history. Misushelach Ra'a Adam, Shem Ra'a Misushelach, Yaakov Ra'a Shem, Amram Ra'a as Yaakov, Achia Shiloni Ra'as Amram, Elio Ra'as Achia Shiloni, and once you have Elio, that carries us through for the rest of history. V'adayim Kayim, because Elio and Avi is still alive. V'achia Shiloni Ra'as Amram, is that true that Achia Shiloni saw Amram? V'aksiv lo nosrameim ishkim Kalev ben Yifunu v'Yoshua ben Nun, the only people from the Yotzei Mitzrayim who survived and made it into Eretz Yisrael were Kalev and Yoshua. Samrav Nun lo nigzor gzer al shifto shalevi. Yeah, that's excluding people from Shevet Levi. V'aksiv b'midbar zeh yiplu p'grech anyone who's 20 years and older, mi shepikudav mi ben eshrim yatsa shifto shalevi shepikudav mi ben shloshim, that only those who are counted from the age of 20 are included in the gzera, but those who are counted from the age of 30, which is shevet Levi, were not included in that gzera, and that's why Achia was able to make it. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll discuss about Yair ben Menashe and how he was able to make it. Thank you.